Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Michael DelGiorno Show. Super Talk 99.7.
10:05 in the morning, 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. I am Michael DelGiorno, standing up for what's right on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Welcome to Monday, July the 18th. As I just mentioned, 88 feels like 98. More heat. Nowhere to rest your eyes. We have more information on the Nice terror attacker. Actually, believe it or not, his phone is producing more clues than anything, including pictures and videos of heterosexual and gay sex. Meanwhile, authorities say no link to any terror group other than the Prophet Muhammad. Then we had the Baton Rouge shooting. We now know the shooter as Gavin Long. He was black. He's a former Marine. We believe he was the only shooter. The dead officers are 32-year-old Montrell Jackson, who, by the way, posted, and I'm sure you guys have heard all of this by now, but on July 8th, these are trying times. Please don't let hate infect your heart. As much as he pleaded for that, that hatred is what eventually took his life. He also elaborated and said that it's just been, and this will give you a perspective from a fallen officer of what all officers are feeling. He said he was physically and emotionally tired. He said that when he was in uniform, he'd get nasty looks. When he was out of uniform, some people considered him a threat. Clearly, it's open season, and this ambush is another example of that open season on law enforcement. And who's ginning it up, and who's responsible, and what's the motive? Hatred. And from our shooter, Gavin Long, and his Twitter handle of Cosmo Septipenra, we get pretty crystal clear his hatred towards whites and police officers that played out in the death of three officers, Montrell Jackson, Matthew Gerald, and Brad Garofalo. Kathy Hinders is our top cop from DailyRollCall.com joining us on the live line. Kathy, let's start with everything we know about this shooter that pieces together the motive and the ongoing problem we have in America.
Well, I think it just is more of the same that we've been piecing together, Michael. We know that there's a relationship with Nation of Islam. And with that, I need to say, what's very important is that there's a connection here with the Nation of Islam. We've been seeing Louis Farrakhan has been speaking on a regular basis at TSU. And I think that that needs to come out because I think that this is a very volatile time, and I think that speakers of that nature that are coming into our state university systems, I think that needs to be looked at. But when we have men
By the way, do we need to stop and explain to people, Black liberation theology is basically the only Christianity that Barack Obama knows by way of Trinity Church and Jeremiah Wright. All right, so black liberation theology, it's a different gospel. It's not about Christ's blood, forgiveness for your sins, abundant life on earth, living his life, eternal life in him. It's God, his race, its allegiance is to a different continent. That's why Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam was named by Trinity Church in its magazine its person of the century. All right, so this is a brand of Islam that is different from that of traditional religious Islam, Muslim Brotherhood political Islam, or ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, jihadist Islam, and it really is race-based. So the reason I bring that up to you is, as a cop, when I ask you this question, when you look at Gavin Long, is his hatred coming from he's a racist? He clearly hates all white people. That's documented in Twitter. And he clearly hates police. So I don't think this is the Prophet Muhammad motivating him. But Nation of Islam, like liberation, black liberation theology, is so based in race and hatred that they kind of just go hand in hand. So I don't know quite how to process this or which to blame in motive. I need a cop's help.
Yeah, absolutely. But the Nation of Islam, I mean, and we also know that they have an arm of the Nation of Islam, which is more the military arm, which promotes the violence against white people and against police. So they are very much a racist organization. They are very much a terrorist organization. So there is that difference. There is that split. But they call themselves Muslims, but they are not the type of Muslims that we always, you know, speak about. So there is that split. But what's interesting is that so many of the Muslims that we talk about all the time, were praising Muhammad Ali, who we know was from the Nation of Islam or who practiced, you know, with the Nation of Islam. So, you know, they used to say that they wanted nothing to do with the Nation of Islam, that it had nothing to do with their Prophet Muhammad, but yet we saw that they praised, they attended his funeral in droves, they spoke at his funeral. So apparently they approve of the Nation of Islam.
Well, there's a lot
so
of
there is no separation.
I bring
there.
It up from this perspective. There's a lot of discussion in America today, and then the White House's response to this at whitehouse.gov after getting the right number of petitioners is that we don't determine what a terrorist organization is. But if the discussion in America today is, should we look at Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization? It certainly fits the definition in action. Is this bedfellows, enemy of my enemy is my friend, or are they more one and the same than we think? And in terms of that discussion, I wonder if we should be discussing New Black Panthers, Nation of Islam, as well as Black Lives Matters. They're the more violent influences in Black Lives Matter acting more like a terrorist organization.
I think all three of them need to be designated a terrorist organization. When you look at the definition, which is basically the to create change in a government, to instill intimidation, to create that change.
Gavin Long didn't kill any officers that had anything to do with the shooting, whether in St. Paul, Minnesota, or in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I mean, he killed innocent officers.
Yeah.
So even though this was Baton Rouge, one of the two sites, it's no different than Dallas. So that's a terrorist tactic. Any cop is fair game is terrorism, just like any civilian is fair game. So...
yeah, and you know what? So much for Black Lives Matter. I mean, what is this? Black Lives Matter unless they're police officers? I mean, so what is it? Black Lives Matter if you're a thug? I mean, this is just ridiculous. There's no rhyme or reason for Black Lives Matter. You know, the blacks that are being killed by blacks up in Chicago and other large cities. So, you know, it is terrorism, and it certainly is. The Black Panthers, you know, they're being allowed now to come forward as an organized group. We saw Malik Shabazz, who was, you know, actually being interviewed on news stations. I wouldn't give him the time of day, but he's talking about, you know, how they're going to use different forms of gas, pepper gas, at these events coming up. So he got a guy here who's telling you, who's articulating what they're going to do at these protests. And if that were you or I saying this, we'd already be in jail. And I think that this needs to be nipped in the bud, get the big players out before it's too late. And so I think all three of those organizations that we just talked about, if you see Farrakhan, you grab him, Malik Shabazz, and certainly the leaders of your Black Lives Matter. I see what's happening with Black Lives Matter, though. All of a sudden now they're starting to say, well, you know, we don't want all police to die and things like that, because I think they're a little inexperienced and they're a little scared. But they've joined with CARE. We know that. So you know what? Go ahead and designate them a terrorist group, because I think they're all from the same vein.
Well, I'm going to do this because we're on topic, but we discussed this. I discussed this last week. The similarities to Islam are uncanny. All right. So
yeah.
Just like you have peace-loving religious Muslims only, because Muhammad was for a short period of time. Then you have more political Muslims that are into civilization overthrow, because Muhammad was for a longer period of time. And then you have jihadists, militant, murderous, terrorists, because Muhammad was for a period of time. So you have all three simultaneously. Well, in Islam, what happens is the peace-loving religious ones are silent. And then the more political ones, they kind of give you this thing. Well, I wouldn't be doing that, but here's why they are. It's a justification. And then you have those that celebrate the terrorist attacks because they're jihadists, and they're jihadists, and they're one in motive and in spirit. All right, well, we're seeing the same thing with Black Lives Matter. You have some that still have bought this false narrative, and they think it's about equality, and they're silent. Then you have them ones that are more political, and they will come out, and this is really where Barack Obama falls in, where they'll say, well, that's wrong to go kill a cop, but here's why they did it, and I understand it. And then you have people like this shooter. I mean, this would be Gavin Long 4 days ago, that are online tweeting and talking about it and calling for bloodshed and so on and so forth. So it is amazing. They're either one and the same, or they're using the exact same tactic. Either way, it fits, because, you know, terrorism is a tactic, not an enemy.
Yep.
It's clearly terrorism. There was an op-ed piece in the Fox on FoxNews.com, and I don't think you can say it any better in one sentence. No longer can the patrolman simply worry about the reported crime itself, but rather he or she must approach these events as though they are potentially walking into the next Dallas or Baton Rouge, frankly, an ambush. Talk to us about, and I think screaming from his grave is Montrell Jackson, who at 32 had posted as late as July 8th, "These are trying times. Please don't let hate infect your heart. When I'm in uniform, it's physically and emotionally exhausting. When I'm in uniform, I get nasty looks. When I'm out of uniform, some people consider me a threat." I mean, what are officers going through? This is open season on law and order and those who serve and protect. And I know it's been like 5, 6, 7 incidents that get played out through social media and through 24-hour news channels, but there clearly is something in the air, and I think it's got to change protocols to a degree.
Oh, this roller coaster of emotions is the worst thing that can be happened to law enforcement. I mean, the range from anger to sadness to fear, and police officers have fear, healthy respect for what can happen to you. The approaching of a normal call now, because these guys were eating breakfast, and that's what we do. And you're allowed to do that on a Sunday morning. You know, you're having coffee together, and then to be ambushed. You know, it was a female caller that called into 911 that, you know, said that there was a guy with a gun, and then he positioned himself to be able to see all three cops as they came around the corner, and he was able to kill them. So I think that now any call has the potential. We used to just say domestic violence was the worst call, and traffic stops were the next one after that. But now every single call you go on, you don't know what the potential is there. And so with the equipment that we've been given, which is a bulletproof vest, you can't walk around with a helmet all the time, your life is in danger at every given time. And I think I've heard that so many guys are just quitting the job. They're not waiting for retirement. They're leaving the job now. And I think that the communities are going to suffer, because now who are they going to call? And I think the best thing that I thought over the weekend, if the police that are armed are not safe, neither are you. And so I think the communities need to start denouncing.
Well, I think they do. There was a movement I saw over the weekend, and I thought of you immediately, and I said, I'm going to bring this up to you. And I think, I can't remember where it was locally. It may have been Dallas. But it was a local citizen who just came up wanting the Built Fort Tough series at the Bridgestone Arena. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. And to win tickets, we always set aside 3 weeks leading up to the great event, end of August, by riding the Liberal Bull, Tommy's favorite thing to do. So we will have three contestants. Call now at 737-WWTN, 737-9986, and you will ride our Liberal Bull. This works as obvious as it sounds. I am going to give you a liberal line of thinking, and you dismantle it, ride it, rant against it. Until the buzzer sounds, the person who rants the best, the person who dismembers the liberal thought the best, wins the tickets to the Professional Bull Riders Built Fort Tough series coming August 19th through the 20th at the Bridgestone Arena. So you all gather our three contestants online. I'll have your question when we come back. You ride the Liberal Bull and you win tickets on Super Talk 99.7 WTN next. It's 11:22 in the morning at Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Well, the PBR, Professional Bull Riders Association, Built Fort Tough series, will be coming to Nashville on August the 19th and 20th as we convert the Bridgestone Arena into one of the greatest rodeo settings of all. Now, this is not a rodeo. It is a professional bull rider televised nationally competition. We just get right to the main event. It's the nastiest top bulls against the best bull riders, and it's one of the most exhilarating events that I take the kids to every year. And I want to give you a chance to win tickets. Now, we started this tradition, Tommy, I don't know how long ago. This is going on 6, 7 years now, isn't it? Now, Tommy doesn't like, because Tommy ends up having to be the heavy. But Tommy is our judge. So we have Adam, Josh, and Bill that are going to be our liberal bull riders today. Now, instead of riding a physical bull, you're going to ride a liberal bull. So I'm going to give you a liberal stance, a line of BS, and you're going to ride it. Now, you can rant against it. You can dismantle it. You ride the bull. The one who rides it, dismantles it, or rants the best against it actually wins tickets. And by the way, this year we have a new wrinkle. Whoever is our best bull rider, subjectively, after all 3 weeks of competition, gets our VIP experience at the PBR Rodeo coming August 19th and 20th at the Bridgestone Arena.
So how are we going to do that?
It's subjective, so yeah, we'll just remember the greatest. We've had one. We've had them in the past. People stand out so well.
I'm thinking we need to actually give scores or something like that, like a one through a five.
You are the judge. You are free to do that.
Still everyone subjective.
Everyone gets a one. There, we're all done.
But Daly, you're going to... I don't know what's happened to him, Ken.
What? I've hated this contest
and
for years.
And he doesn't even know that you're on the air saying you've hated this contest. Are you kidding me? This is a great event.
It's awesome.
It's fun to go to. It's a fun way to give away tickets. And you're saying you hate the event. Now, if the client cancels, you're going to get fired.
No, I don't hate the event. I think it'd be a lot of fun to go to, honestly.
You should have gone last year and the year before.
No one's invited me.
All right, come with me and the kids. I'll get six tickets. All right, give me some Garth Brooks. Well, it's balls and blood, it's a dust and mud. All right, having rebuked Tommy and dealt with that dysfunction on the air, the PBR Rodeo is coming in August to the Bridgestone Arena. It's time to ride the Liberal Bull to win tickets. We have three contestants, three bull riders. Let's start with Josh. Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself, cowboy. Josh? Tommy, are you sure it was Josh?
No, I'm here now.
Oh, are you Josh?
Yes, I'm back. I thought I got cut off, but yeah, there I am.
Tell us about yourself, cowboy, besides not knowing when you're on the radio.
Yeah, well, I'm 36 years old, live in Springfield, Tennessee, and I got two little boys that would love to go to this
The things we daddies do for our boys. All right, you're going to be competing against Adam. Adam, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Tell us about yourself, cowboy.
I'm a boy from Nashville. I like spitting and I like kicking.
He likes spitting and kicking.
I got two boys that would love to go myself.
All right. Well, I wish you both the best. All right, Adam and Josh, here's the Liberal Bull. So the President of the United States, from Harvard to Trayvon Martin to Michael Brown to the shootings in Baton Rouge to Dallas, has been ginning up this division on all sides. He says now it's important that everyone, regardless of race or political party or profession, regardless of what organization you're part of, everyone right now should focus on words and actions that unite the country and not divide it further. We don't need inflammatory rhetoric. We don't need careless accusations thrown to score political points. He's actually suggesting that Donald Trump is to blame for ginning this up rather than his own divisive rhetoric. So the line of bull is, suddenly the guy that's been dividing the most is telling us we got to be positive and unite. Are you ready to ride that Liberal bull?
Yes, sir.
All right, Adam, I'm going to cue the clock. You start riding this here. Today's bull's name is Hussein. Barack Hussein. Ride him, Adam.
Barack Hussein, you need to look in the flipping mirror and quit talking out of both ends of your mouth. We know which one the second one is. And you need to be a stand-up and be a leader.
Oh, nicely done, Adam. Now that's showing them how it's done.
When Trayvon Martin was killed, you should have stood up and been a leader.
This cowboy's still riding. He's still kicking. He's still spitting. Nicely done, Adam. Who was our other contestant?
That would be Josh.
Josh, you're back. All right.
Stop. Yes, I'm back.
Josh, you are phone challenged today.
I know. I don't know what happened there. Yeah.
All right, you heard Barack Obama's quote. The goose is the gander. The one that's been ginning up all the division is now saying we got to all be nice and say positive. Are you ready to ride our bull, Barack Hussein Obama?
I think I'm ready.
Take Adam's cue and start spitting and kicking. Go!
It's time to cowboy up, Barack, and get real with yourself and the American people and stop riding these ideologies that no one is, everybody deserves something better than
Josh, it was a spitting and a kicking and a spitting and a kicking on Hussein. Guys, you both, being the first in competition, you know, set the tone. We're a little out of practice. It's been a year. I want to compliment both of you. I would probably, as you know, because I am a host, I'm likable, lovable. I'd let you all go with your kids. Tommy, however, of course, hates listeners, loves to hurt them, and he will make the decision. Ken, did you have a favorite?
I liked them both. I thought they were great cowboys.
See how great Ken and I are? We both love you both, and I can't believe that Tommy is going to make only one of your kids' dreams come true.
Gladly.
Tommy, they were both spitting and a kicking.
You know, I think I have to give the edge Barely to Josh.
To Josh over Adam? Now, see, I was leaning towards Adam. Ken, who are you leaning towards?
I'm with both of those fellas.
Well, you really are an ass kisser. All right, well, Adam, I'm shocked. I really love the way you rode that bull. Adam, I'm going to... I can't do it, Ken. I'll get in trouble. I can't do it. Adam, try to call back tomorrow or over the next...
It's because Tommy didn't write me.
I know it. And by the way, I'll stay on the line. I'll give you his home address in case you want to spit and kick his way. God bless you, Adam. There'll be other chances for you and others to win. All right, Josh, you're our winner. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
What are your kids' names?
Case and Colton.
Now, don't tell. Oh, boy, they have like cowboy names.
Yeah.
Colton, I love that. All right, well, don't tell Case and Colton that you won these tickets. You be a big spender. Take your wife, your two kids. I think you have room to bring maybe even a friend. But you're going to enjoy the PBR. If you've never been to the Professional Bull Riders competition at the Bridgestone Arena, it's like nothing. Now, it's a live television event, you know, so there's going to be commercial breaks. But this is literally sights, sounds, and action. One of the most incredible rodeo experiences. So if you've never been, you're in for a treat. And especially Colton and, was it Colton and Case, right? Or Cole? What was it? Colton or Case?
Colton and Case.
They're going to have the time of their life. It's the PBR Built for Tough Series coming to the Bridgestone Arena. I didn't. I'm telling you, Josh is phone challenged. Josh, you got to call back and give us information so you can get your tickets. That's three times. I bet you he's like, what was the old one they used to have? The cell service? You know, the crummy one, Ken. What was it? I had a friend that used to sell for them. I can't remember the name of them now, but... Not T-Mobile or T-Mobile. It was another one that was like really fringe.
Man, if you wouldn't have said anything, I'd have.
I think it was like a multi-level marketing thing, too. Yeah. Anyway, Josh is phone challenged, but he's called back. He's going to enjoy the PBR, and you can, too. Listen to Ride the Liberal Bull and win tickets to the PBR August 19th and 20th, Bridgestone Arena, again tomorrow on WTN. It's 11:30. Stand by for news with Ken Weaver. It is hot. It's 11:41 in the morning, 19 minutes before the Dan Mandis Show at 12 noon. I am Michael Del Giorno with information-fueled, opinion-driven Super Talk on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Well, the story locally, it's hot. 91 feels like 101. Your Nashville Sounds took 3 out of 4 at El Paso, losing yesterday, but 3 out of 4 ain't bad. Hey, if 2 out of 3 ain't bad for Meatloaf, 3 out of 4 in El Paso ain't bad. They head to Albuquerque tonight at 8:05. They'll be home Friday to start a homestand this weekend against Omaha. Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson gave us probably the most memorable final round of an Open in history, and that's saying a lot with the British Open. They pulled away collectively from the field to such a point that it was match play. One shot 6 under, the other shot 8 under. It was one blow after another, responded by the other. It was an amazing show, and... you know, kudos to the number 6 in the world, Henrik Stenson, the Swede, winning his first major by 3 over Phil Mickelson at Royal Troon, 20 under to 17 under par. And tonight, of course, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, all the major networks will be covering the Republican National Convention from Cleveland. So this is the face of the party united with the wave and referendum outcome of Donald Trump. And I can tell you there'll be 4 themed nights. And they all elaborate on the theme of making America great again. Tonight, we'll have making America safe again. Tomorrow night, we'll have making America work again. Wednesday night, make America first again. And then the final, most uniting and pivotal night, making America one again. There are a lot of highlights and featured speakers each night. But tonight, Rudy Giuliani, a featured speaker, Donald Trump's wife, a featured speaker, and a real rising star in the party and a finalist for the VP selection, Iowa superstar Senator Joni Ernst. Joining us, and when he's not stalking NPR, is David Zanotti from American Policy Roundtable and the Public Square. Yes, I got your picture. Now, what do you think at NPR they think when you're suddenly posing in front of their logos?
They think...
And by the way, am I the only one that gets you of all people? Because when it comes to the Public Square, which I love, it's heard on 200 stations, including WTN, it really is conservatism like me, but done in an NPR style. You of all people mocking them. You guys should get in a corner and whisper each other to Christ.
I'm walking down the hall right now, and Herman Cain's on one side with a Daily Caller. Dan Rather's sitting at Sirius XM, There are cameras and interviews, things going on all over the place, senators, congresspeople, and the whole point of it is not, gee, how cool are we to be here? What's really interesting is in this entire convention, Michael, all the buzz is at talk radio. It's not at the TV outlets. It is fascinating how talk radio drives politics.
Well, because television is a view of the grass tops. Talk radio is the grassroots. I got news for you. Grassroots, a dysfunctional Republican Party that hasn't lived up to its platform, hasn't kept its word, hasn't fought with principle and stopped the outlandish leftist attacks is what this convention is really all about. So I would imagine that, you know, nobody gives a rat's what Fox peddling. Everything they peddled failed. Let me talk about, I want to focus in on one thing to go further than we did earlier in the 9 o'clock hour. And that is usually a potential first lady or a wife of a candidate is to give us the human view of the man behind the candidacy. Now, there's a lot of uniquenesses here. Not every first lady or potential first lady is a supermodel who still looks good enough to supermodel. Married to somebody like Donald Trump, who is either so misconceived or misunderstood. And then thirdly, she represents the third wife of Donald Trump. How important are these speeches from Melania tonight and then from Donald Jr. tomorrow night? I think they're more important than normal.
Well, the whole question is how does Trump crack out of the image that he crafted so carefully on television, which is obviously one-dimensional, and his family is going to have to be the way that's done. You remember in the last convention how much time they spent trying to explain to you what a great person Mitt Romney was and how many people they paraded with stories because they were trying to crack him out of the plastic hair image that he had for so many years as this business elitist. Well, you know, Trump has crafted an image as a television tough guy, and while that's given him 100% name identity, people don't really know who he is, and they're wondering, who is he really? Now, the question is, how does that match up with Hillary Clinton? Because do people really have the decisions made about who she is, and no matter what she does, you're not going to see another dimension? So that's, I think, what they're having to wrestle with here on the ground in Cleveland. And I'll tell you, Michael, they're making this up as they go along. We're getting updates and changes on speakers and times and places. And I'm standing here right now. I wish I could do a video, a Snapchat or whatever that stuff is to send you right now. But you can see the number of media people right now crafting things, and the consultants are everywhere.
Yeah, and David, let's face it, the tragedies and the news cycle all favors Donald Trump, not more of the same that got us here. So when the theme is making America safe again, a strong suit for Donald Trump is a sovereign nation with an unprotected border and a turning of a blind eye to law enforcement. We have a crisis of targeting police officers, which has to do with serving and protecting in law and order. And then we also have a war on terror that has clearly gone in the wrong direction. To which do Rudy Giuliani or Joni Ernst address?
Well, and that's a good question, and I don't want to pick on the particulars, but right now I can't find Giuliani up on the latest list, so I don't know if they scratched him or he didn't make any to town or if they're going to surprise us with him, but it looks like that may have changed. The point is, on either of those speakers, the issue seems to play clearly into the hands of the Republicans. And we look back historically, and you know, these things affect everybody, so you hate to see political advantages try to be discerned. But the fact of the matter is, they go first, and the hottest subject right now is the question of safety. And so they'll have the chance first to define the issue, and that's just the way history is.
By the way, when you say history, we got a couple minutes. Elaborate on that. You have racial tension. You have civil unrest. We went to the opposing party. We have seen this time and time again. You have long gas lines, and you have recession. You go to the opposing party. People get a sense of things aren't going well, and they don't like more of the same.
Yeah, that's quite true. And thing is the politicians cannot control those events. Things happen that no one has control over, and then the politicians have to respond. And the funny thing about the American people is they can tell when they're being handled and tell when somebody's trying to deal with it truthfully. So that's where the real spin game comes in, and that's what people will be watching. They'll make their decision based on who's got a genuine answer, not who's just basically shouting at them again.
So let me ask you, it looks like there's some fluidity to this speaker schedule. My guess is 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or even a month ago when this was being planned, tonight was clearly about what launched Donald Trump, borders and immigration. But I think as of recently, terror attacks and ambushing of police officers may have changed a theme of making America safe again to be more about things other than immigration. Am I right in sensing that?
No, you're exactly right. And if to what degree the heartland of Ohio is able to represent what people are thinking about, everyone in Ohio is talking about that. They're talking about dead cops being shot down. This is a problem for everybody. I don't care what the race is. I watch people today talking to cops all over the city, black, white, didn't matter, brown, red. They went up to say something to policemen in weird, kind words. This is a big issue.
How important is this speech for Joni Ernst?
Well, it's the opportunity of a lifetime. She's done pretty well for herself, and it's politically speaking, it's the opportunity of a lifetime. If she does it well, it could play very well for her future. No doubt about that.
Is Melania's speech extra important? I mean, we certainly John Kerry's wife was a disaster. You know, you could say a potential first lady's speech can never really sell a president. But sometimes it can hurt him. She probably has more to lose than gain here, right?
Well, I think it's always based on expectations. And the question is, how low are the expectations set for someone that no one really knows? How gracious are they? Americans are tremendously gracious for the spouses of political officials. They recognize there's a difference, that they are not the professional politician in the House, usually. And so I think there's a tremendous amount of grace that's extended. I think the expectations are relatively low. So I think that, you know, as long as she doesn't do something disastrous, I think she's going to find a lot of sympathy.
Finally, I'm going to go over on this, but Rudy Giuliani, if in fact he's not appearing on some of the more recent lists, that would be a big mistake. Who better to address law enforcement officials as well as terrorism than Rudy Giuliani, not to mention a party, you know, standard bearer?
Well, I think that it would be difficult if he did not show up, but we're checking right now, and I'm trying to run that down for you. And by the way, just what's a tweet shop? Do you have any idea what a tweet shop is? Yeah, there's a tweet shop here. I'm just walking right through it and finding there's a tweet shop. So, okay. This thing, see, I don't even know.
You know what? I like that we don't. David Zanotti, we'll respond to what we see in the opening night, Making America Safe Again, and preview Making America Work Again, night 2 of the Republican Convention tomorrow morning. Talk to you then.